We all have trials and tribulations. Amen? We all have troubles. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But he says, I have overcome the world. What should our response be to trials? What should our response be to trials? The longest chapter in the Bible is the beautiful Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is divided into sections. If you'll turn there, please, to Psalm 119, you will note that it is divided into sections. 1 through 8 is one section. It is called Aleph. The next section is 9 through 16. It is called Beth. The next section is 17 through 24. It is called Gimel. The next section is 25 through 32. It is called Daleth, and so on. This is the Hebrew alphabet in order. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry, of Hebrew poetry, is Psalm 119. And one particular section is the response to trials and tribulations. And that is the section of Daleth. Would you please stand with me? As we read Psalm 119, 25 through 32. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you would enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word? Pray right now, Trinity Baptist, that the word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in your life. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. You pray now for me that I would deliver this message accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, please. You know, I've got to tell you, I am so proud of this church for a variety of reasons that I will not go into now, but we did the whole study, the quick study of 1 Corinthians 11, how some were not sharing and this and that, and we talked about that, and I encourage you to examine yourselves, and you got up and you were taking communion, and Sally is over here playing. And person after person walks by. What about Sally? I'll take to Sally. What about Sally? Everyone was concerned for Sally. And that's what we're supposed to do. It was great. It was refreshing. It was wonderful. Psalm 119, the whole chapter, the theme of the whole psalm is the Word of God. Keeping that in mind, let's look in depth now at 25 through 32. 25, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. The Hebrew word cleave is a famous biblical word that hopefully you will recognize. Always keep your finger in Psalm 119 and turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2:18, the passage on marriage. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Back to Psalm 119. The Hebrew word here is cleave, the same word used in Genesis 2:24 when the man is commanded to cleave or be joined to his wife. The word means to be joined to adhere to be glued to be cemented to. And that's the command for men. We are commanded to be joined, cemented, glued to our wives. And men, if you're like me, I want nothing else than that. But notice how this word is used in Psalm 119:25. My soul cleaves to the dust. The author says, my soul is clinging to the dust. Have you ever felt that way? I have. He says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. The Hebrew word revive simply means live. And in this context, it means revive or quicken or bring to life. The psalmist says, my soul is clinging to the dust. Revive me with the life that is promised in the Word of God. Verse 26. I've told of my ways, and you've answered me. Teach me your statutes. This is the response we all should have when we are going through trials and tribulations. The psalmist says, my soul is united to the dust. I have told you all about my life. Now, in response to my overwhelming trials, my prayer to you is that you would teach me how to understand and apply the Word of God to my life. That is his response, and that is what our response should be. The harder your life gets, the more you need this book. The harder your life gets, the more you need this book. And when our life is so hard that we say, my soul is cleaving to the dust, we should look up and our first prayer should be, God, teach me your word. Teach me your word because I need it. Revive me. Give me life. Give me the life that is promised in the Word of God. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. This is my favorite verse in the whole section. God's Word, Trinity Baptist, God's Word reveals His glory. God's Word reveals His wonder. The author wants to meditate on the wonders of the Lord, His creation. His creation, His miracles, and His wonderful Word. I saw a poster once that has become my favorite poster in all the world. It's a poster. It's a simple poster. It's not a work of art. It's just a poster. And it's about the Bible. And there's two pictures on the poster. One picture has a picture of the ocean. And the caption says this: it is one thing to admire the ocean's great depth. And when you look on the other side of the poster, the caption reads, it's another thing to dive in. And it's a beautiful picture of coral and fish and animals like you'd imagine at a national park underwater. It's one thing to admire the Bible's great depth. It's another thing to dive in. And what I want you to know, what I want you to be reminded of, Trinity Baptist, is the Word of God is breathtakingly beautiful. The psalmist says, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. His wonders in creation, his wonders in miracles, and the wonder of the Word of God. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, your word is a magnificent wonder. Help me understand it so that I may meditate on the wonderful, amazing, breathtaking beauty of the Word of God. That's the response to trials. Help me understand your word so I may meditate on your wonders. Turn a couple pages over to Psalm 119, verse 129 is in the pay section, and it opens with this: your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. Back to our text. Verse 28. My soul weeps because of grief. grief. Strengthen me according to your word. This Hebrew word weep gives us a picture of something melting away or something collapsing. All of us have experienced this. Every one of you have had a time in your life when you can say, my soul weeps because of grief. The psalmist says, give me the strength promised in your word. This Hebrew word strengthen is a beautiful word. It means to arise or to stand up. In the Hebrew, he says, my soul is collapsing, melting away because of grief. Help me to stand according to the strength promised in the word of God. The best translation that I read in my study was from Hebrew scholar Leslie Allen. Not Leslie Tyler, Leslie Allen. Make me stand upright as your word promises. The psalmist is asking God to lift him up in his trials so that he can stand. My favorite description of the word of God is in Psalm 19. Would you turn there, please? Psalm 19. Verse 7. Listen carefully, Trinity Baptist, to all that God's word is and does. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping with them there is great reward. That is a perfect description of God's beautiful word. It restores your soul. It makes you wise. It rejoices your heart. It enlightens your eyes. It warns you, and it is more precious than gold. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Do you treasure it? Do you read it? Does your soul need to be restored? Do you need joy for your heart? Do you need wisdom? Do you need warning? It's all right here. Back to our text, please. Psalm 119. Psalm 119:29. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. Satan's lies are everywhere. The Hebrew word false means false or deceptive. False or deceptive. Satan's lies are deceptive. They seem right. And we can learn Satan's principles everywhere we go in life. Is that not true? You can learn Satan's principles everywhere you go. You can learn Satan's principles from worldly parents. You can learn Satan's principles at school. You can learn Satan's principles from our friends, from the media. And by the time someone becomes an adult, they have been thoroughly indoctrinated in Satan's principles. There's only one solution: the Word of God. God's law is the truth. And the author prays, again, this is the response to suffering. The response to suffering. How should you and I respond when we are in the midst of trials and tribulations? This is how we should do. We should pray, Lord, remove the false, deceptive way from me. And graciously grant me your law. The prayer goes like this: God, show me all of the lies that I have believed, and help me to understand your truth. That is the godly response to suffering in this world. Verse 30. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. The Hebrew word faithful means firm or steadfast. And we know from many, many, many scriptures that God is faithful. God can be trusted. We learned earlier in one of our studies that faith and faithfulness are two sides of the same coin. Faith and faithfulness. Faith is putting your trust in someone or something. Faithfulness is the quality of being worthy of someone's faith. And we know that God is 100% faithful. And the psalmist is saying, I've chosen the faithful way. We're unsure whether he means, I've chosen your way, which is faithful, or if he's saying, I have chosen to be faithful to your way. Either way, his point is, I am sincerely following you. I've chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. And here, Trinity Baptist, is what I want you to see. If you've missed everything since I've been preaching, here is this one sentence. We're back to the Hebrew word for cleave in verse 31. When your soul is cleaving to the dust, the response I want you to have is to cleave to the Word. When your soul is cleaving to the dust, the response I want you to have is to cleave to the Word of God. I cling, same Hebrew word as Genesis 2:24. I cling to your testimonies. Do not put me to shame. Verse 32. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. If you would like a fascinating Bible study, it's a short one. It won't take you very long. Trace the word heart through Psalm 119. It's a study you could do this week on your own. Trace the word heart through Psalm 119. The Hebrew word for heart is similar, not exactly, but similar to our English word heart. It describes the inner person, the mind, the will, the place where we make choices and decisions, that is the heart. The world shrivels up our hearts with lies. Sin shrivels up the heart. God and His Word enlarges our heart with truth. With truth. And that's what the church has to offer you. That's what God has to offer you, Trinity Baptist. The world can enlarge your community. The world can enlarge your friends. The world can enlarge your power. The world can enlarge your bank account. But only God can enlarge your heart. And one way he does it is by enlarging your heart with the truth of this beautiful book. I've chosen this passage today because I have experienced this in life, and so have you. Many of you in this room know what it's like to have your hearts shriveled up with sin and corruption and lies, and there was a point in your life when you discovered the Word of God and God enlarged your heart. Many of you in this room have experienced the joy of reading the Word of God, and you love the Word of God. You cannot get enough of the Word of God. You will never stop reading the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God restores your soul and enlightens your eyes and rejoices your heart and makes you wise. How many times has your soul been joined to the dust and you opened up the pages of the Word of God and God by His truth made you stand up? I've chosen this passage today because I want to encourage you to read the Word of God. But there is another response I want you to have, and that is this. It's what Mac talked about. There are millions of people all over the world who do not have the Word of God in their own language. Do you love God? Do you love God's Word? If you love God and you love His Word, then your heart will go out to the people that don't have it in their own language. What can we do? What can you do about the people that do not have the Word of God in their own language? You can pray. You can give, and you can go. I told you I'd talk about these prayer cards, and I'm going to close with this. I love this program, and let me tell you why. In 1998, I was at the Planet Wisdom. Actually, it wasn't called Planet Wisdom then. It was called something else. Shepherd something. But I was at, somebody help me, Shepherd Ministries. I was at Shepherd Ministries, and they passed out these bracelets to all the kids. Wycliffe Bible Translators was there, and they passed out all these bracelets to the kids. And each bracelet, there was three different colored bracelets. And every bracelet had the name of a people group that did not have the Bible in their own language. And I watched as 2,500 kids gathered in small groups, and each of them prayed for one of three groups that didn't have the Bible in their own language. I will never forget that moment as long as I live. Most of the people threw the bracelets away. I kept mine for a while. I continued to pray for the group off and on. I didn't do it faithfully, but I continued to keep the group in mind through the years. And I subscribed to one of the Wycliffe magazines for years. And I opened it up one day. I actually don't subscribe anymore. Isn't that terrible? But I opened it up one day, and I couldn't believe my eyes. There was the people group that we prayed for, that your youth group prayed for in 1998, and it had this glorious announcement, translation team deployed. And there they were. And I thought, oh my goodness, God answers prayer. Amen. And I went to Wycliffe, and I said, all right, I'm going to get another group. And this is my second group, the Kitimanankakan people of Mali. Say that with me. Just kidding. Yeah, exactly. Kitimanankakan people of Mali in Africa. And I begin to pray for the Kitimanankakan people of Africa. 2 years ago,
in the magazine. Translation team deployed. I said, you know what? I think I know what to do next. So I adopted my third group, the Urang Nuren people of Indonesia. I'm on my third group, not because I am this incredible prayer warrior, but because God is an incredible God. What I'd like you to do, only if you are serious, only if you are serious, only if God is calling you to adopt one of these people, and only if you will take this card and you will pray faithfully. This is what I want you to do. Go out there, meet with Mac and Julie, and get your own card, and then tell me about it. And my commitment to you is every one of you that adopts one of these cards, I will pray with you. I love praying. And I will call you, and we will pray for your people together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the word. Please use Trinity Baptist to translate your word to people that don't have it. In Jesus' name, amen.